I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Rick Martinez. Rick is a U.S. Army veteran, a registered nurse, a writer, and successful entrepreneur. After several years in nursing, Rick's entrepreneurial spirit kicked in, and in 2001, he founded his first business, MedTrust, a staffing service that sends nurses and doctors to military hospitals nationwide where they're needed. In 2004, his early business success prompted San Antonio Business Journal to name Rick one of its 40 under 40. MedTrust would go on to become one of the U.S. Small Business Administration's top 100 companies. In 2007, Rick started his second company, Alamo CrossFit, with the goal of enriching others' lives through exercise and nutrition. Rick created a corporate culture to reflect his own ideals. Gym clients became members of a tribe, working together and motivating each other to achieve shared goals. Rick's drive for helping others continues through his current passion, Project Bink. Rick is married to Lisa, his wife of over 14 years, and has three wonderful, healthy kids and spends a lot of time on Venice Beach. Rick, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you on.
It's a pleasure being here, David, and I appreciate your all's time.
So tell me a little bit about why you became an entrepreneur, and in particular, how you made the shift early on in your career into entrepreneurship.
Sure, that's a great question. I think the reason why I've actually grappled with that for so long, with the word entrepreneur, is the fact that I'm a registered nurse by vocation, by training. Became a registered nurse in the 90s, and that was really what I defined myself as, a caregiver, even to the funny word of a nurse, a male nurse. But that was my life. It's just I worked in hospitals, I worked shifts, I took care of folks. And the whole entrepreneurial word and world just didn't really click or exist. And I stumbled into it just kind of by one of those ready, aim, fire things. I was a nurse and I was working a shift. I was working a contract, actually, as a contract nurse here in South Texas. And at the end of one of my shifts, and actually the end of one of my contracts, I ran into the director of nursing on the way out of the hospital. I worked night shift. And she asked, you know, it was time for my renewal for my contract, and, you know, am I open to renewing? And I thought to myself, sure. And I said out loud, sure, I'm ready to renew, but I'm going to switch companies. And she said, no problem. And again, I don't know if it was fatigue from working all night or if this was the entrepreneurial piece rearing its wonderful head or not, but she said, just have your new company, who you're going to work for, send us the contract. And so I went home and realized that I didn't have a company. There was no other company. I knew I just didn't want to continue working in the fashion I had. So I went to LegalZoom.com and formed a company overnight. And within a few days, presented myself to the director and said, here's the company. You know, I want to renew. And she said, send us the rep. You know, have them send over their rep. And I said, well, I'm the rep. And it was a done deal. And I guess that was the moment. That was the moment that I became a businessman or entrepreneur, and or however one wants to define it. But what I defined it as, I then became the master of my destiny. At that moment, I have a very clear recall of the moment that really shaped my entrepreneurial voyage from that point up until now and ongoing.
Interesting. And what is a Bink moment?
So a Bink moment is a word that actually it flowed out. A Bink moment is one of those ahas or epiphanies, just those words that one of those moments that we wrap a platitude or something around. But I had a moment, it was very deep and personal, just a few years ago. And as I described it to a friend of mine, we had wine glasses, and I described this very impactful moment in my life. And I don't mean a Kodak moment or a Facebook moment, but this was something that was, I knew it was going to change me. And I described it, and I flicked the wine glass with my finger, and it made this sound. And all I could say was it made a bink sound. And she looked at me and said, that's your word. That's the word that is going to probably define the rest of your life. And she said, in fact, I challenge you. I challenge you on a moral level to retell the story of how the moment changed you. And so I called it a Bink moment. And a Bink simply is defined as a life-changing moment that opens the door to what's next.
Now, I wondered if you could describe the actual Bink moment that you're talking about, and also, is the moment that you've already described when you went from being a contract nurse with somebody else's company to a contract nurse with your company, was that also a Bink moment?
Those are fantastic questions, and upon reflection, which I've done a lot of, I would have to say, yes, those were Bink moments. Those were moments in my life. And I would say everybody has these moments all the time, but that was a moment in my life when I became an employee to self-employed. It was a Bink, there's no doubt.
And what was the experience that you went through where you were describing the experience using the wine glass?
Obviously, when I became an entrepreneur back in the day, the word Bink didn't resonate, no pun intended. It didn't even exist. This didn't happen until about 2011, 2012. The moment that actually occurred was I had an accident, and I'm gonna pepper a lot of information, but so I had started my staffing company and was in the process of exiting in 2011 and 12. I was selling the company. It had grown astronomically. And I was looking on a personal level for what was next for me. And I didn't know what next was. I just knew that I was supposed to be doing something more, giving more, doing more. And I was on this search, a quest, if you will, for meaning, for purpose. And I found myself in a weightlifting competition in Austin, Texas. And I'm a trained weightlifter. I've done it. So I didn't just enter something because I'm a guy and I could lift heavy things. I entered the contest, and it was a perfect day. And David, long story short, and I don't want to gloss over the importance of the moment, but long story short is 225 pounds crushed my leg. And it was a freak accident. And I was, so yeah, kind of a long story short, but yeah, 225 pounds that smashed my leg. But I was laying there on the ground, and as I was laying there, just like in the movies, there's kind of that shell shock scene, like in Saving Private Ryan, where everything freezes. That's how it was for me, literally. I knew it was only seconds, but it felt like it took hours. And I'm laying there after my leg was crushed, and there was absolute clarity, just clearness. There was this sense of connectedness. I can't explain it other than to know that at that moment, my life was going to change. And the way I manifest it in explaining it, rather in concrete terms, is instead of asking why this is happening to me, I ask, what does this mean? And that was my Bink. It was that moment. That was the moment that I described to my friend and flicked the wine glass. And I said it was a Bink moment, and it changed my life. And it has.
So when we're in a position where we are pursuing greater meaning, how do we keep ourselves open for these Bink moments?
Those are great questions, and this actually is will be, I think, as we talk more, David, a nice segue into exactly what I'm doing with this moment today, but. How do we as humans, as people who are here facing life every day, or life is facing us, we're strong or we're weak, we're successful, we're unsuccessful, we live in South America or the US, how do we deal with, or how do we know that these Binks are happening? And I think the first step, irregardless of where we are, what we eat, what we speak, what our color or creed is we have a higher level of attentiveness. We become aware that things are going to happen to us, or we will happen to things called Binks. And just knowing that, becoming aware of it, and not reacting immediately towards these life events, good or bad. I think the first thing is to understand that these moments are going to happen, period. They're going to happen. It's life's roller coaster. Use whatever analogy one chooses to use to talk about life, ups and downs. They're going to happen. The first thing is to accept that they're going to happen and be aware when they happen and give it the space and maybe time it needs to unpack what it could mean.
So what's an example that someone who is a business leader might face where it's important to be able to accept that these moments happen, be aware that they happen, and most importantly, give them time to play out?
Sure. So there's so one can say, you know, I have these binks all the time, or ahas or epiphanies, whichever word feels better. I kind of like the word bink because I'm building a brand around it. But these are the really big ones. So as a business leader, well, let me share then real quick what this did, how I turned this into a business, a bink moment. So the bink happened. My friend challenged me. She said, Rick, it's your moral duty to share this story. And I started to write. I began to write about it, write about the change it was impacting on me. And this was all just really feel-good stuff, David. I had no intents of a business. So the bink happened, and I wanted to capture the moment and share it in the story. And the more I thought about it and realized that, okay, if I want this to impact and scale and reach more people, I need to wrap or put on my entrepreneurial hat. So what the bink did to me is, while it caused me to pause and reflect and ask what it means and write about it and talk to people about it, I had to put an entrepreneurial bow on it. And so we started a business. I formed an LLC, and the book is going to be one of our first offerings as content to scale our message. We built a website. And again, I don't mean this as self-promotion. I'm not trying to say that, you know, that I'm going to spend this time talking about this business, but rather that what this moment did and how we cascaded it into a business. And I'll be speaking to it, public speaking, keynote speaking to it. So the bink, it could have been something that had kept me down. It could have defeated me. I would have every excuse in the book to not rise up again, just as we all would when a moment hits us that has a negative impact. We have the power then, or the choice, to make it something that is empowering or disempowering. Okay, let me give you an example. Interview I did. She's actually going to be a subject in the book that's going to be published. It's a company called Bang Shoes, capital BANGS. They have a mission of, for every shoe they sell, they give a percentage to the Kiva organization. And the founder said her company was founded by a bink moment. She was teaching English overseas, and she knew that there was something more she should be doing. She noticed that the Chinese people, wear these very distinct type of shoe. They were canvas, and realized that something about the canvas shoe really was it. It was telling her something. As she tells her story, she woke up one day and said, "That's it." She said, "That's it." She goes, "I need to go home and start a business, and I'm going to sell shoes like this. They're very simple. They're authentic. They're real. Give money back." And she said, "Rick, I had a bink moment that morning when I jumped out of bed and I realized that this was going to change my life."
If you think that you are coming up against a bink moment, and this is a point where you should, like you said, accept it, be aware of it, and then take the time to react to it. How do you know whether reacting to it is putting your company at great risk or whether it is pursuing an opportunity?
You know, those are great questions, and a couple of words that really jump out at me is coming against the bink moment is I don't want people to feel like these are things that are winds, gale force winds pushing them back, when in fact they could be gale force winds pushing you forward. I think on a very simple level is we have a choice of reacting, and most of us do. I still do. I'm not by any means saying that because I now understand binks, I never react. That's not the truth. Sometimes I do react. But as business owners, as leaders, as CEOs, we have a greater responsibility, not only to our employees or to shareholders, even if the shareholders are just ourselves and our spouses. So I would say reaction versus creativity. we have an opportunity to react or to stop and then to create the next step. And I use that word specifically because I'm kind of a wordy kind of guy. Mm-hmm. But I would say that reaction is a natural, it's a natural reaction, no pun intended. It's something we do intuitively. But as a seasoned leader, as somebody who wants to grow into a CEO role or cut their chops or find the quote unquote success, it's often to our detriment if we choose to react off the bat when we can when we actually have the opportunity to create the next step. So I think word choice is a very powerful place to start. And again, I just, it's interesting the way you ask because, you know, against the Bink moment, and I thought to myself, but sometimes these Binks are fabulous, they're fantastic, and they're moving us leaps and bounds forward. And even then, when they're positive, David, still, immediate reaction may not be the best course of action until we have thought about it and let it sit, even if it's just for a few minutes, and created what the next step is going to be.
Right. It's like in business, plan A is rarely the one that comes to fruition. It's usually some other version that evolves based on a combination of what's happening internally with your organization, what's happening in the marketplace, lots of other factors. And so there are all these moments that take place in the over the course of time while you're trying to implement your plan that either work out really well or there are bumps in the road. And sometimes there are things that happen that do cause you to pause and create the next action, as you just described.
That's it. And you know, the beauty of that is the moments that cause us to pause. Those are the moments that I think are the ones that have the potential for the greatest impact. And the moments aren't, honestly, they're not always good moments. They could be your landlord saying you're losing your lease and you realizing you are on the hockey stick. Your business is thriving and your landlord says, we're making room for the next big shopping center. You're losing your lease. Or suddenly this has happened. Suddenly you're served with a lawsuit by an employee or an employee in the past who you thought was part of the tribe. And these are the unexpected things of business, sometimes the bad things, but it offers us the opportunity to, instead of reacting, to create something out of it.
Yeah, and I've seen people, as an example, that have been employees for 20 years, and suddenly they lose their job, and they're like, okay, now what? And they're at a high level, and maybe they can't get another job at the same level so easily, and they go out and they start a business. And starting a business may not have been on their radar screen before that, but sometimes they do fabulously well, and it was like an occurrence that, in hindsight, they think, well, maybe this should have happened to me sooner.
Yeah, it's lose their jobs, free up their future. There is no doubt that sometimes, I would say oftentimes we don't know why these things are happening to us. And, you know, when one's future is freed up by virtue of being fired or losing a job or being outsourced, there's tremendous opportunity to the tune of what you just said, is going into business and realizing, why didn't I do this sooner?
Right. Sometimes we end up being in a place where we meet somebody who can become a partner. And it's because you may have gone to that conference or you went to that networking event or you were open to something that turned out to be a great opportunity.
That's exactly it. It's a spirit of openness, the spirit of connectedness, of being open, of wanting to share and revel and receive. And even those two big words now, vulnerability and authenticity, it's just waking up and saying, I'm going to be who I am because I have more to give. And when we do that in this surreal sense, it actually happens.
Rick, what have been some of your challenges in business, and how have you overcome them?
That's a great question. And in fairness, I knew you were going to ask that. And I I was actually on a phone call about, 55 minutes ago. And I didn't want the phone call to last too long. And I started talking to the person on my call about the questions we were going to talk about. about business, ups and downs, successes, ups and downs. And so this person asked me, so what have been your biggest challenges in business? And I said, you know, I have a bunch. And so I'm telling you now, David, I've had a bunch. And they're very typical. They're Google challenges. You know, you couldn't make payroll. Great. There's 1,001 stories about that. And those are no doubt, those are real challenges. But my biggest challenge was in the 1990s, right before I actually started my business, not even knowing, but my biggest challenge to me was overcoming the fact that I was a brand new divorced father, and that as a man who was going into business, I had been the cause of my marriage falling apart. And while it didn't happen while I was in business, it plagued me while I was in business, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
I had to keep, as a CEO, in the forefront of my mind, I'm doing this for specific reasons, to support my family, my kids. And I also knew at the back of my mind that it's because of this drive, because of these things that have put me into this entrepreneurial front seat, I destroyed my family. And it was the cause of my success and the bane of my success. And that's what it was on a very personal, deep level. I was a divorced business owner, and my kids grew up with the stepfather. And that was the biggest challenge. And my kids are grown up now, but that was the biggest challenge and also the biggest motivator for me as an evolving CEO.
Interesting. And are there questions that you wish you had answered at points when you had challenges or when you hit a plateau in business?
There was, you know, there's a lot of questions. I think the questions that I grappled with most back then are, how do I find this work-life balance? How do I take what I'm doing at work, quote unquote, and figure out how to balance that home, quote unquote? And that itself was also a big challenge. And I personally don't believe there is a way to create work-life balance. But there was a lot of things I wish. I wish I would have understood the power of mentors back then. I believed that I could do it all. That as the CEO, as the captain of my ship, that I didn't need outside help, that I could plow forward like a bull in a china shop, and I could get this done. And I didn't understand the power of community, of mentors, of even of entrepreneurial groups out there. And I wish I had known about those. I wish I had not been so pig-headed about my journey at that point.
Yeah, and I know that in some of the background work we did in preparation for this episode, you have provided some information about some of these organizations. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about them, about some examples, and also the value of mentoring and community.
No doubt. So I think I know that the one that has had the biggest impact on me as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, and as a human being is EO. It's Entrepreneurs Organization. It is a nonprofit, and I've been a member of EO now for several years. They have chapters all over the world. I belong to the San Antonio, Texas chapter. And the ability to mingle with, to trade ideas with, to share with fellow business owners, with entrepreneurs, it's invaluable. It's been something that has changed me. It has given me new perspective. But more important, David, is that it's shown me that I'm not the only one who faces these challenges, that there are other business owners and CEOs out there who are in the same dang boat that I'm in. And it was refreshing to know that. Yeah. I wasn't alone. So that's, I think they've had the biggest impact on me. There's a couple other ones I belong to that fulfill my journey in a much different way, and they are just as important. One of them is called C12, and they're also national. And I meet with that group of CEOs as well, and there's no doubt that there's a very distinct part of my life that is fulfilled when I'm at meetings with those groups of men and women. But the power of a group, it's of community, it's invaluable.
What are some tips that you might be able to offer about how you can shift your mindset when you're facing some of these kinds of challenges? And in particular, maybe how community and peers can help with this shift?
Sure. I think one of the biggest things for me is during the course of this interview and in my book, I talk about mindset and mind shift, and it has a very, these are my words, but very touchy-feely aspect to it. And there's this distinct pragmatism to business that says, you know, EQ is great, but I need to act. So tips and advice are, there's a nice balance between that whole EQ and IQ side, and they're not independent of each other. So what I propose and what I share with people is be human, be aware, be fully awake to the fact that you are doing something for the greater good, but also take massive action. Don't ever think that just by thinking something, it's gonna happen, because you gotta go out there and start swinging the bat. You know what I mean? You can practice, you can read the books, you can talk about mind shift and awareness and the things that Project Think talks about and makes you feel. But the fact is, your feet gotta hit the ground, and you gotta get up, and you gotta attack the day every day, or somebody in the business world is gonna walk all over you. And I want to make sure that if I give a tip, it's that be real, be human, you know, approach the day with love and respect, but keep that bat right behind your back, because you're gonna need it.
And you're right, you've got to take action, you've got to get on the court. And mistakes do happen, but you don't know what the mistakes are until you get on the court.
That's right.
Rick, do you think that now that you've been in business for a good bit of time, do you think that is any different being a business leader in 2015 than it might have been a decade or two ago?
I do. I think there's not only something that I feel, but I think that there's a general shift. I think that from the bigger picture, there is this shift towards mindfulness and connectedness. And companies like Tom's Shoes, Bang's Shoes, one of the companies I wrote about, companies like Whole Foods that have this greater mission, there is no doubt there is this mindful shift towards the greater causes, the greater good. There's B corporations now. So I think that in general, business has shown that there is a shift. You know, maybe Enron was the beginning of that shift towards me, 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 and into we. And on a very personal level, no doubt, I was in it for reasons that were very personal. And, you know, I wanted to have more success and more freedom and more this. And today, while those are still part of my value propositions internally, I also know that what I'm doing today is for a greater good, for the bigger picture. So there's no doubt. I firmly believe that leadership, CEOs, the entrepreneurial journey has no doubt in 15 years taken this shift towards sharing, towards a bigger picture.
Do you think the so-called sharing economy is somehow in synergy with this movement?
You know, I want to hope so, David. I do. I mean, and I don't use the word hope lightly. I tell my kids, you know, when they say, you know, I hope I do good on the test tomorrow, I say, you know what, kids, hope doesn't live here. Hope lives next door. That test you will do good on tomorrow. But in response to your question, I want to hope so. I want to hope that this is going to be a wave that carries everything towards the bigger picture, towards sharing, towards community, towards and I don't use this word lightly either, towards just loving your fellow human being, because this is what it's all about.
That's great. Rick, what do you do for fun?
You know what I do for fun? So last year, I spent last year about a year and a half training for an Ironman. And I know that's kind of a little bit, some people would say, you're sick. You do that for fun. But it actually grounded me. You know, the running, the biking, the swimming, staying physically active. So the Ironman ended, and I think what I do now is I do stay physically active. It clears my mind. It gives me a reset to just go out and run, to go. I do yoga with my wife. So physical fitness it's fun for me. It fills this piece of me that I know we must fill as leaders and CEOs. And that's through, you know, keep your body at least as top in physical condition as you can, because without a good body, I mean, nothing else matters.
That's true. And the truth is that most people who are successful business leaders pay attention to their fitness.
I think it's important.
Yeah, it's very common. Rick, what do you plan to accomplish through the Bink platform?
So the Bink platform, Freudian slip there, is, you know, we've set this big, hairy, audacious goal, this BHAG, of impacting 1 million lives in the next 10 years. And by that, I mean that we want, as a business, we want as a message, as this community binder, to have impacted, to have infiltrated, to have changed 1 million lives and moving upwards from there. I want people to understand that this is a message of connectedness. And sure, it sounds real nice. And from a business perspective, this year, I think about this year in these terms, we want to get 30,000 books in people's hands. And I didn't say sold, I said books in hands, because that would mean our message is spreading. We want to build our literal platform to 8,000 followers by this year. So we have very tactical goals and very kind of feel-good goals. But long-term, this is a movement built around a word that becomes part of our diction going forward. That Bink will become a word that people refer to as a moment where their life changed. And it started with the wine glass.
That is exciting. Very nice. Rick, who do you know personally who's doing remarkable work?
You know, I'm gonna say a good friend of mine. He's doing remarkable work in a remarkable number of fields. His name is Mike Shero. He is a franchise owner of some business groups here in San Antonio. He's a good man. He's a role model for me as a father. I love my dad, don't get me wrong. But Mike Shero has a young family. He's a great role model as a modern day dad. He's just a good-souled, good-hearted man who's building a really good business with really good people. And he has been an inspiration to me for several years now. So, and his name is Mike Shero, and he's just a great human being.
Terrific. What's one example of something that he's working on?
Let's see. You know what he's working on? He's working on me. And I don't mean that in a selfish way, but I met Mike Shero through my journey when I was feeling broken, and his wisdom and guidance. He's working on rebuilding people. Somebody who was in this state of, let's call it, brokenness, mm-hmm. and he's brought my pieces back together. And for that, he's working on a great business. There's no doubt. He's working on building a great franchise. There's no doubt. But what is he working on that's really fantastic? He's working on bringing people back to a sense of wholeness. And that's
important work. No question about it.
Yeah, he's helped me move forward in ways I can't even describe on an earbud here.
Terrific. Rick, please tell listeners how they can learn more about you.
I'd love to. The best way to learn about us is to go to www.projectbink.com, or another way is go to itsrickmartinez.com. One of them is business. It's about what we do. And one of them is about finding deeper meaning quickly, purpose hack. So projectbink.com or itsrickmartinez.com.
Very nice. Rick, you've shared lots of wisdom with us today, including some really personal moments. Thank you for the tips that you've offered to our listeners. Thank you for sharing your wisdom. And in general, thank you for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest today has been entrepreneur, coach, speaker, and author Rick Martinez. Thank you again, Rick, for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by 10 Strategic Partners. Be sure to visit our website at smashingtheplateau.com and join our email list to hear many more great interviews like this one. And if you like what you heard, please leave us a review on iTunes by going to smashingtheplateau.com/iTunes. I'm your host, David Schreiner-Kahn, and we'll be talking again soon.